Are you ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? How we all doing? It's a hump day. It's a Wednesday. It's a international. Don't sell yourself short. It is a international hot dog day, which means the best known 999 challenge guy in our stable, Barry Laminack, hopefully is safe and sound in OKC after recharging the batteries watching porn last night. Nick is in the studio. I am here as well. And we are ready for another 3 hours of fun games and shenanigans.
That didn't take long.
Nope.
Well, he did his homework.
Nope.
It took 30 seconds.
I mean, not even. Did we make the 30-second mark before here comes the blank bus? Just right over you.
He's all quiet now. Why are you upset?
I'm like the blank bus. I have 2 pages of notes here that you did your homework. So I know it's coming up. So why wouldn't
it's
I
great.
Mention it? You did your homework.
Because we haven't cleared the audio with Jong yet.
It doesn't mean that Jong we have to use the audio. You still did your homework.
Oh no. This can't be done without the audio. It can't. If Jong won't let us use the audio, we're gonna have to somehow get Trey to reenact this. The lines of dialogue in this, I suppose we should tell the people what we're talking about. Maybe they don't know. But
well, they're
yesterday,
idiots if they don't know, but please.
That's true. But yesterday, somehow, some way, Joel brings up, okay, maybe it was me, but Sylvester Stallone porn career, his softcore porn that he did in the 70s, maybe? Mid-70s? Brought it up on the show, and then I was like, someone sent me a link to it, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this. I'm going to do my homework and do a full review of it. So I did. I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of the people. So I watched The Italian Stallion last night on Pornhub. Only about 15 to 16 minutes, by the way. It wasn't the full movie, but it was enough. It was absolutely enough to do a full review. So I decided that what good would a review be if I didn't have audio of the dialogue from the movie? And I'm pretty sure other than about a minute, I've got all the audio total. Like all the dialogue in the entire 15 minutes could be done in about 2. So it's pretty sweet.
Okay. That sounds
so
hoping,
but there's some sexually suggestive stuff, so I'm hoping John can approve all this so we can do this. It's going to be awesome.
Well, and let's clarify all of this. This entire idea can be blamed on Barry Warner, because Barry Warner, who always wants to be a part of our show because 1 hour is not enough, has to make sure he chimes in and lets us know about Sylvester Stallone's softcore porn history when we were mentioning Stallone movies. So I say we just blame Barry for everything.
Let's not give Barry Warner credit for anything. In fact, just like Kurtlow, I don't know why you keep bringing him up.
Do you want to be
he's really upset with Kurtlow.
Do you want the credit?
We need to have a list of names we don't mention. LeVar Ball.
Do you want the credit for watching Sylvester Stallone softcore porn or knowing which porn he's done?
I mean, I knew it existed. I think
just
most
don't
people
think that that's a tag or a moniker you'd want. I give that to Barry easily.
Look, Joel, look at me. Look at my life. Do you think that would lessen me in any way already? You can't get any lower than I am. So,
oh, I think you can, but you have to be convicted. But at the same time, you know, look, it's Way Back Wednesday. We did our homework there, too.
Yep.
So at least we've prepared. Today's Way Back Wednesday, compliments of one Nick Sciarra. Well, Nick, why don't you tell us?
Well, Kirsten. Well, Kirsten came up with it because apparently, you know that hit international song, Despacito? It hit a record.
That's the big one.
2.7 like billion streams.
Like currently right now, it's like the top hit.
And it's like the biggest streamed international song or pop song ever. So in honor of that, we're doing like an internationally themed way back Wednesday, whether it's an artist, a song, you know.
Oh, I didn't get that correct. I just thought it was the artist had to be from outside of the United States.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least I qualified.
Now, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I do like the song Despacito. I do enjoy that. And I've learned some Spanish because I can say pasito, pasito. I don't have any idea what it means, but sometimes when Nora's doing something, I'll just start screaming that at her for no reason. But my favorite part of the song is when he talks in English at the end when he's like, this is how we do it down in Puerto Rico. It's like, oh, okay, I get those lyrics. I can understand those. That's the only part of the song that I can sing along with. So that's the best part of the song for me. Maybe I'm just alone in that.
Oh, no, I'm right there with you. Well, what about the Justin Bieber track, and I don't want to ask my wife.
The Justin Bieber verse. What about the Justin Bieber verse? It was in English.
You're right. No, you're
the
absolutely
first verse
right.
And the last three words.
Yes, exactly. And then everything else, I'm just looking like a moron because I'm still like I'm 43 now, so I'm in the old man mode where I'll pretend like I know the words even though I don't. My mom used to do that, which was hilarious. Like she wouldn't know the words to any songs, but she would just pick up at the tail end of them. You know what I mean? So she'd be like, this thing.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So that's what I'm doing now with Despacito. Most songs too, but yes, especially the ones that aren't in English.
Yes, I totally can relate to my parents being, well, my dad was just Mr. Big Singer, but it was always when it was like way back songs that I couldn't relate to. But yeah, definitely I know the people that like to finish on the last two words of a sentence in a song.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt, that was my mom. But at least she let me listen to cool music. Unlike my dad, we would drive around in his car with Willie Nelson 8 tracks in the player. So
yeah, my dad went like Sinatra to all kinds
of
up and down the gamut of crooners from back in the day. So it was it could be painful at times.
Yeah, that does suck. Can I tell you guys about my experience yesterday?
Sure.
So I get into town. I drive into Oklahoma City from Wichita. And I decide that I'm going to go to the grocery store to get some food for the house because it's a house, not a condo, so it's pretty nice. Well, I say nice. It's an older house, but it's not bad. So I find a grocery store called Aldi. And I don't know if you guys know what an Aldi is, but I remember...
There's one in Mo City. I know what you're talking about.
I remember there being a fuss about Aldi coming to Houston at some point. Like, that was a big deal, I think. Like, oh, it was like affordable food. And so I go to the Aldi, and it was the most depressing thing I have ever done in my entire life. Like, I feel like Aldi is it's like Food Town if Food Town didn't save enough for retirement. It's just the most, there's just boxes of stuff you've never heard of. They don't put anything on shelves. It's like a garage. I felt like I was at a garage sale for food. It was so sad. Like there was one lady that just bought a thing of ranch and that's it. And she stood in line. They only had one line open. It's not even a conveyor belt. It's just like almost like a card table. And the cashier's working out of a box like she's taking tickets at a carnival. It was the saddest experience I've ever had grocery shopping. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy this thing a Diet Coke and I'll go find a grocery store.
It's like my least favorite grocery store. I'm with you. It is kind of a depressing store. You have to bring your own bags too. It's one of those places where they don't provide you with the bags or anything.
Really?
Yeah. They either have like leftover boxes like from their inventory that they've, you know, unboxed and they just put it on the side, kind of like how Sam's used to do it back in the day. Right. Remember Sam's?
Yeah,
they don't have it's like a what bothers me about that spot is the produce. I just do not trust their produce.
Do they still play bingo in the produce department on Wednesday nights? It sounds like you got like an Elks Club meets a grocery store. I've never been inside one, but I don't think I want to now.
Not my favorite store.
No, it was depressing. It was almost like it's like the food that gets put on hospice or something. This was like food that's been, it was so depressing. And I didn't recognize anything. Like I bought a bag of trail mix, but it's more like path mix or something. Like it's not even full blown trail mix. It's missing some ingredients. It's basically just peanuts with some raisins in them. It's so sad. It was not a pleasant experience.
Doesn't sound
good. Maybe they're not all like that, but I don't know.
Now, boys, before we go to break, I just need to know, do you believe in life after death? Because we've had a resurrection to some degree today that we'll need to talk about when we come back, because a ceremonial burial has been dug up just for today.
I was going to say.
So we'll have to talk about that amongst other things as we continue to roll on. And oh, by the way, at 1:30, Barry, asking you shall receive, as one Jim Mattress Mac McInvale will join us at 1:30 to talk a little Rockets purchase possibilities and much more. It's a full day. And Nick, by the way, is feeling confident he took our number one for his international classics. As we continue to roll back the clock on a Way Back Wednesday, it's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
May all the glory go to the man who just played Chumbawamba, one Nick Sciarra, because you can't have a Sciarra without a Chumbawamba. Evidently on a Way Back Wednesday. It is Barry in OKC trying to get Paul George on the horn. Nick in the studio with me as we continue to roll on a Way Back Wednesday, and a Where in the World is Barry Laminack, who has just made it from Wichita to OKC in the last 24 hours as we continue to roll on with the show. Barry, your thoughts on Chumbawamba?
Is this called Tub Thumper? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
What the hell is a Tub Thumper?
That's a great, did we ever figure that out? That's a great question.
Is it Tub Thumper or is it Tub Humping?
No, it's Tub Thumper, I thought.
Okay.
Is that like having sex in the tub? Or is that like if you poop in the tub? What does Tub Thumper mean?
That's the sound you get during a...
Is that when you fart?
No, that's the sound you get during a Cialis commercial when the man is in the one tub and the woman's in the other and they can't get to each other. You get Tub Thumper.
Okay.
Because that really annoys
I'll take
me.
It. Yeah, it's really tub, annoys it's me. You do hate that, don't
I
you?
I do. I really do. Why are you taking like, a pill if you can't even get to the lady you're with, but you can hold her hand? Come on.
Well, first of all, who's buying two bathtubs? Who's buying two? Who's got that kind of money to throw around where you're like, you know what? I don't need just one clawfoot tub. I need two of them for me and my lady. Like, what?
Or on the other on the other cheaper side of things, honey, I was looking at patio furniture and it's really getting expensive. Why don't we just go to like the resale market, get a couple of tubs and throw it on the patio? It'll look great.
Yeah, this is probably the same guy that buys a motorcycle with a side cart. You know what I mean? Like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Just let her ride on the back. Why are you putting the lady in the side cart? Now you've got a three-wheel motorcycle and you look like a weirdo. Yeah.
Isn't the medication so that she can just ride on the back? All righty. So your Astros, Barry, not only won again last night, I was very pleased to see that because Peacock really pitching well again. I don't know how you take the guy out of the rotation. He has been fantastic. He continues to hold up his end of the bargain every time he's called on. Got run support
seven strong,
again.
Huh?
Yep, seven strong innings. Again, getting good run support. They win this time only 6 instead of, 15 or 19 the last two outings. But he continues to look strong. And what I teased going into the break, in left field for the matinee day game today for your Houston Astros, one unbelievable. Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
So what a day and a half after burying his glove and having a ceremonial burial of his glove because he hasn't played the field all year. He's not only in left field, but he had to make the first out of the game, and he made it in an adventure. He really struggled with a fly ball.
I can't remember if I said it on air or off, but I thought I said it to Nick, but I didn't know if it was on air or off. But I remember saying, well, it looks like they're going to have to resurrect that glove because that was a short-lived death for Carlos Correa. Because, I mean, for Carlos Beltran, yeah, his glove. That's how it happens, though, right?
I
mean, you're ready to pronounce this dude DH only, and then Correa gets hurt, and now they need help in the outfield because Marwin Gonzalez is going to be playing infield. But also the call-up, what did you think of who they're calling up?
Well, I mean, from an infield perspective, I get Colin Moran, who finally is starting to look like the Colin Moran that everybody was, like, boasting about. For a few years, offensively he's finally starting to hit a little bit. But I don't. Who else did they call up that I might have missed?
No, that's it. It's Colin Moran that I saw, anyways. Yeah. And I don't know if I like that. Now, are they talking about, because he's a third baseman? So are they? I haven't seen anything, but it scares me that the plan might be to move Bregman to short, move Gurriel over to third. I don't know. I don't like that idea, though, if they do that. I think you leave those guys where they are and let them play. Let Marwin hold down shortstop, and then if you need breathers, Colin Moran can come in and spell either one of those guys. But that, or at first base, you know what I mean? But that scares me a little bit.
I mean, I mentioned it yesterday that I thought there was a chance Bregman would see some time at shortstop. I do understand your theory on it completely, that, you know, you don't want to uproot two different guys at two different positions and have a new shortstop and a new third baseman, and I get that, but I think that because he's played it his whole life until he got called to the big leagues, I mean, just as a contingency plan in case, God forbid, you know, Correa doesn't come back, can't come back, or it's delayed, that he can play shortstop from a little bit more rangy than Marwin, maybe. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Correa, by the way, surgery went well. He posted pictures. He's already out. Hopefully, that means with no complications that will be more on the 6-week mark than the 8-week mark.
Yeah, and I was looking at Colin Moran's stats, and you hope that he's able to continue what he did this year at Fresno. He had 18 home runs, 63 RBIs, hitting .308. That's great. Slug OPS was .916, which is fantastic. Last year when he came up, it didn't go well. He hit .130.
Yep.
He hit .130 in 9 games, 25 plate appearances, not great. But even in Fresno last year, he hit .259 with a .697 OPS. So not jaw dropping. The one year that he had a decent go of it in the minors was 2014 at Corpus. He hit .304 for about 28 games. So he's shown flashes, but he's a plug-in. He's a fill-in. That's all he is. That's all this is going to be.
Yeah, and that's my biggest concern. We mentioned yesterday how the one thing you don't have to worry about is the offense, because regardless of, you know, who you choose to play the field at shortstop, at least the offense has been living up to their end of the bargain and then some. The thing that worries me is when you put a Moran in there based on what he did the last time he was called up, as you just mentioned. And if he takes away from the offense, that allows you to breathe a little easier because it gives you a cushion in most games that most teams don't have that luxury. And it would worry me if he kind of brought down the bottom half of the order because of the fact that he went back to hitting like he did the year before. So hopefully he's hitting more like he was hitting in the minors this year than he was when he was in the majors last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, so we are due a phone call from one Jim Mattress Mac McInvale at the bottom of the hour, so we're waiting on that. And before we get to that, I want to tell you about the No Excuses Summer Pro League. It's a Wednesday, which means there's two more games at the Fondy Rec Center tonight with NBA-type talent going on down there at the No Excuses Summer Pro League. Go to noexcusesfoundation.net and check it out. Two games nightly. Four teams, NBA talent, including some current NBA players on each roster, Corey Brewer, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, Bobby Brown, Jonathan Simmons, just to name a few, and they're playing in the No Excuses Summer Pro League next to the big Rucker Park League in New York and the Drew League on the West Coast. This is the best league in the state of Texas, and it's also one of the best summer pro leagues in the country. No Excuses Summer Pro League, and it's free of charge. No fees for parking, no fees to get in. Bring the whole family, bring all your friends. And most of the guys, hey, they're out there trying to be noticed, and or they're already NBA players trying to stay fresh. They're great with the fans. They take pictures, they sign autographs. It's a great experience for you that love basketball out of the NBA season, a chance to get down to the No Excuses Summer Pro League. It's at Fondy Rec Center, so it's right on the outskirts of downtown. It's conveniently located, and like I said, no fees for parking, no fees to get in, and great basketball action. Check it out, noexcusesfoundation.net, the No Excuses Summer Pro League.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Barry's in OKC. Nick and I in studio. My special guest now, a good friend of the show, a sponsor of the show, and a good friend of mine, one Jim Mattress, Mac McInvale, joining us. And Mac, first and foremost, thanks so much for joining us. I know you're busy, but great to have you on the show. And I just want to kind of recap for people. You said the other night you'd be interested in purchasing the Rockets. How did it all come about and your immediate reaction when you heard that the Rockets were going to be for sale?
You know, I was out here selling mattresses, Joel, and this salesman came up and showed me an email on his phone that said Les Alexander selling the Houston Rockets. So I immediately thought about hopefully putting a group together and buying this Houston Rockets basketball team. It was a shock because Les is, as you know better than anybody, he's been very successful with the Rockets, but I guess he decided his time was due, and so we're throwing our hat in the ring to buy the Houston Rockets basketball team.
How does a conversation like that go? Do you just pick up the phone amongst some of your friends and go, hey, this guy's trying to sell this team for about $1.6 billion. You guys want to come together and see if we can get this thing done?
That's exactly right. I've been fortunate in my life to know a lot of people have some deep pockets, so call some of them. There's some interest, and we're trying to herd the process along.
Well, you've been in the market for 36-plus years, right? And you're a long-time Texan and Houstonian, and you're a huge sports fan. And I know in the past when you got involved with the practice facility, when the Rockets needed a practice facility, if this does go through, if you do get – the opportunity to buy this team, would, with all your marketing experience, with all that we've seen of the commercials and the stores and the growth of Gallery Furniture, is this something that you'll take a hands-on approach to, or is this something that it would be in ownership only and then put your team together?
Well, I think I'd have enough sense at this stage in my life to have basketball people do the basketball operation, but certainly I'd be involved in sales and marketing and promoting. That's what I've made a lifetime career of doing it. And, you know, making and being part of the community, that's what it's all about.
I think it's outstanding. We're talking right now with Jim Mattress, Mac McInvale of Gallery Furniture. He is on the line with us, graciously joining us as he has thrown his hat into the ring to potentially purchase the Houston Rockets. Your thoughts, Mac, on the fact that, one, Les is going to make sure he gets an ownership group that wants to keep the team in Houston, and your thoughts overall on the franchise, the value of it, and what it means to the city?
Well, I've been involved with the Rockets, as you know, since the late 80s. We put on the Rockets' 50 party in the Astrodome when they won the championship back-to-back years. They practiced at Westside for 4 or 5 years, so have a very long history with the Rockets. The Rockets are a huge part of the fabric of Houston, and obviously they need to stay here. I hope to God they will stay here, which I'm sure they will, because it's such a huge market, and I think it's important that we rally behind the Rockets and make the new ownership group, whether it's me or anybody else, welcome to our community and keep promoting the great Houston Rockets brand.
Jim, is this something you've always wanted, maybe in the back of the mind, to own a sports franchise, or is this just an opportunity?
No, I've always wanted to own a sports franchise. I'm very involved with the racehorse business and miraculously been successful at that, so maybe I could be successful in sports business. I didn't do too well in tennis, but we gave it a shot. But we still have the tennis club. The tennis club is very successful. Just the pro tournaments were a tremendous cash outgo.
Well, Mac, I know, without spilling too much, but I know you've even looked at franchises in the past because sports are a passion of yours, and I don't think a lot of people realize that you played at the University of Texas. You are a Longhorn. You love football. You love sports. You love basketball. Like you said, you did the practice facility for the Rockets. I'm just wondering if your marketing phrases come into play, because the way I see it is you buy today, you get it tonight. I think you should just go right now and say, buy today, get it tonight, and you take over ownership of the team. It's a done deal.
Yeah, just I just got to get that $1.85 billion in my pocket to get on there and see. So that's putting the whole thing together is a lot of work, but something we're looking forward to doing, and hopefully we'll be a serious contender for the end.
As you look at it, Mac, and you look at what Leslie Alexander has done, and you and I have talked about this numerous times about how the success he's had, and he's aggressive. He wants to win, and I know you have that competitive fire as well. I mean, if, again, this does come to fruition and you get the opportunity, I expect, and just your thoughts on being that aggressive about being dedicated to winning. Yes, you're going to give back to the Houston community. Yes, you're going to be a viable part of the city, but that drive to win, that competitive fire, that's still going to be there?
Absolutely. I mean, the best way to get back to the community is obviously to win. I see all these people out here right now. The entire city is buzzing about the Astros. Almost every other customer walks in wearing an Astros shirt and participates in our buy a mattress if the Astros win the World Series and get a free mattress promotion. So I think the best way to get back to the city is getting excited about the team and win. You have to give Mr. Alexander credit. He's always put his money where his mouth was and made a great effort to make the team successful. And certainly, if I was part of the ownership group, we would do the same thing.
Jim, is it? I don't know if you've had any preliminary talks or if you've reached out to anybody, but I think the big concern is for everyone is keeping the Rockets in Houston. Is that a concern for you? Even I mean, I know it's a great marketing arena for you guys as well. Having a Houston owner would ensure that. But is that something that you've heard or have any insight on?
To me, I haven't had any insight on it, but to me, it's just a no-brainer. How do you leave the fourth biggest market in the country, and how do you leave this tremendous fan base? So I think it would be almost nonsensical to move out. So to me, it's a no-brainer to keep the Rockets here because, I mean, this isn't like this is Oklahoma City.
Mac, talk about just the fact that, you know, what the Rockets have done and done for the city. And like you said, you've been deeply involved with the Rockets, but you like everything that's going on. They've locked up James Harden. I mean, these are things that are going to come up because of the fact that you're going to look at the bottom line and you're going to look at the statements when you get into talks about buying this team, whether you buy them or not. And you know that they just reached out for Chris Paul. He's up for a Supermax contract, which is $200+ million, just like James Harden just got. Those are the kind of things you're going to look at. Do you like where the Rockets are going and where they are right now?
I think they certainly did very well last year, and there's no reason to think they won't do better this year. I think they made a lot of good personnel moves, and you know, obviously the litmus test is can they beat the Warriors, who've done a great job. I think the Warriors were the first ones in the NBA to figure out that 3 points counts better than two. And the Rockets are fast catching up with them on that thing.
So I guess the next question is, if it is to be, it's up to me, is one of your favorite phrases. So if it's up to you, how do you get this deal done?
Yeah, line up the right investors and talk to the people and see what it's going to take to get the deal done. Just keep pushing until it gets done. You know, persistence is something I'm pretty good at, and my wife was a little leery at first, but she's coming around. So we're heading in the right direction, Mr. Blank.
It's always great to hear, Mac. We appreciate you spending some time with us. And if you want to follow him, you know where to follow him, at Mattress Mac on Twitter. He's also on Facebook. And, of course, you can head out to I-45 North Exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Mac sits at that front desk and makes sure he puts you in the hands of the right people to buy the right furniture, all American made. Mac, we love you being a part of the show, but I appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Thanks. I enjoyed the show, and I'll keep you updated on the Rockets. Thank you.
There you go. Jim Mattress Mac McInvale joining us right now on the show. Now, I guess, Barry, if we could line up Tillman by the end of the week, we could probably have a corner on the market for potential owners joining radio shows in Houston.
That would be pretty sweet. I'm looking at you, Nick.
Yeah, Nick, step up, buddy. You're next on the list. You get us Tillman, and then we've had a pretty good week.
He's not cool with all the Houston alum over there. He's a popular dude. Would love to have him on, though.
You know people, don't you?
Reach out to him.
I'll reach out.
You know, I bet you. I wonder if it's one of those things where most people just go, there's no way he would come on, and then they don't reach
Sometimes
out.
Sometimes I get that feeling. I'm not going to lie.
Like the hot chick at, you know what I mean, in school, no one asked her to prom. She didn't have a prom date because everyone assumes that she has a date. I bet that's Tillman Fertitta. He's the hot chick. Well, that doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean.
It doesn't. And I'm sure that'll go a long way towards us landing Tillman by the end of the week. But let's all do it. I mean, I'm sure we'll find him on Twitter and we'll take shots. And if we know people too. We're not just like John Granato's the only guy on the station that knows people? No, we could take a shot at that because that'd be great. That's good right. insight, though, from Mac because of the fact that, you know, even when Barry, you looked it up, I mean, he knows he's not going to be able to come up with it all himself, but the fact that he knows people with deep pockets, and let's be honest, in the horse racing business, there's a lot of people with deep pockets just there alone, so...
I love that he brought that up, the horse racing and the tennis and the trying that, and, you know, those are things you learn from when it's time. You know, it's funny how life works, right? Like, you get all those lessons, and then all of a sudden, there's that opportunity to venture into a bigger sport, and you've learned from those, too. So, all interesting points that he brought up.
Yeah, and valuable, too, in the fact that, like I said, I don't want to say too much, but Mac took a shot at an NFL team once, and he's had aspirations to own a team. And last night on Channel 11, they did a poll on between him and Tillman and Bob McNair. Who would you like to see own the Houston Rockets? By an overwhelming percentage, Mac was the guy that they chose. So it'll be fun to keep an eye on that as we go forward and continue to hear about the sale of the Houston Rockets. So we'll continue to roll on as well. We've got plenty more to get to here on the show. The Astros are on the air and already playing as it's scoreless with Charlie Morton on the mound. So we'll keep you updated on that. Barry in OKC, Nick and I here in the studio. The usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Now you should have somehow realized
what you not to do. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Do we know if we've gotten any approval yet on the Barry, Siskel, and Ebert review? No,
Not yet. Still waiting.
In anticipation, we wait, Barry.
Yeah. So he's not back yet, Nick?
I didn't check. I'll check here in a second.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think the people really want this, you know? It's one of those things where we're doing our community service this way. Yeah. Reviewing Stallone's softcore porn movie. It's a community service thing. We're all about the community.
I'm sure Abby's mom is now muting or putting her headphones on so that her kids can't hear this because she's already commented on that sometimes our topics are too racy. Yeah.
Why would you listen to this show with kids in the car? You know better than that. What? Why? That's your fault, Abby's mom.
Yep. Get off the gifts and get back on taking care of the kids in the proper way. Did you see, by the way, Barry, that Shane McMahon had an emergency crash landing of his helicopter in the in the Atlantic Ocean off of Long Island today?
I don't remember which particular body of water, but I do know that the helicopter was, you know, I guess it was going down anyway, so they made the decision wisely to choose the closest body of water and land there. I was just really surprised at the way Shane looks now. I mean, he looks completely different. He's aged.
Shane McMahon of fake fighting fame?
Yeah, so here it is. WWE. Gilgo Beach, New York, a helicopter carrying the son of World Wrestling Entertainment CEO Vince McMahon made an emergency landing Wednesday in the ocean off New York. Neither the pilot nor passenger were hurt. Shane McMahon, also a WWE executive, was the passenger in the Robinson R-44 helicopter that came down in the Atlantic Ocean off of Long Island's Gilgo Beach Wednesday morning. The aircraft could be seen bobbing on its bright yellow pontoons as small boats circled about a half mile south of the beach. McMahon said it was very unnerving, but the pilot was super calm, and he wanted to thank the man upstairs for looking out for him this morning.
You're right, Nick. I just looked. I Googled his name just to see what he looks like now. He is morphing into his dad.
Yeah.
Especially with his hair.
He's got that, the hair and the big neck. And, that's getting kind of scary there.
But at least the steroids
keep you strong. Does he
work out? Yeah, you think?
I was going to say. Little bit.
I'm sure there's...
Is that still a thing in wrestling, the steroids? Or are they all natural now?
There's no drug testing in the fine arts. So I would think that... You know, until there is, he can continue to keep Andro and everything in his locker.
Well, when you're the boss, you know who's going to drug test you, right?
Good Lord. He and his dad. That's natural. Every time you see him, you say, oh, that's natural. That's got
to
be.
Francisco said he listens to the show with his kids. Well, that's your bad. Again, I try to warn you guys. Sometimes I'll be like, hey, if you got kids in the car, you may want to come back in 5 minutes. But like when we do the Sylvester Stallone Italian Stallion review, you're definitely not going to want the kids listening. It's not going to be clean. But I'll warn you, and then I'll give you a rough estimate as to when to come back. But that's your bad if you got kids. This isn't a kid-friendly show, and we don't bill it as that.
No, we don't. I mean, we're honest about it, but you do give fair warning. I will give you credit for that. You absolutely give fair warning to say, you know, hey, this is a segment that you might want to earmuffs. Call earmuffs on the deal.
That's right.
So
Joe G is mad that I talked trash about wrestling. He said, you watch your filthy mouth when you talk about wrestling. I know, you know, like I'm almost done with the first Hobbit movie and it still sucks. So I know that makes the nerds mad. And I know if I talk about fake fighting and wrestling, that makes the nerds mad. I guess it's all the same group. I really feel like it is. I feel like if you watch wrestling, you've seen all the Hobbit movies. I don't know. Maybe that's not the case.
I just feel like that would be now. The case.
Yeah, you've got the wrestling ring with the fake, like with the live action dolls. You know what I mean? You remember that? Remember that wrestling ring, that WWE wrestling ring back in the day that you could buy, and it was almost akin to like owning the Millennium Falcon as a kid. It was like the coup de grace of toys was having the wrestling ring with Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant wrestling dolls. Not dolls, action figures.
Oh, you're not talking life size for kids.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Was like you got this.
They used to sell like this ring. It was a toy, and it was probably, you know, I mean, a foot and a half by a foot and a half. It's a squared circle, you know. Okay. But they would sell the action figures that would go with it, and that was so badass, and I never had that. And I picture if you've seen The Hobbits, you had one of those as a kid. I really feel like that.
And as I've told you in the past, if I was interested in that, which I was, but if I had gotten it, my parents would have gotten it for me for Christmas, and I would have gotten the EWW version, not the WWE version. It would have been the generic version with nothing close to what I wanted.
You would have got the Mid-South Wrestling Classic ring.
That's exactly right.
Yep. It would have been no, like, the ropes wouldn't have been a color. They would have just been rope. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been sad.
Bulk Grogan would have been the main character. It would not have been Hulk Hogan. I guarantee you that. That's exactly what I was always getting as a kid. The generic version of everything.
Hacksaw Jim digging.
That's not
he doesn't have a 2x4, it's just a fence picket. It's like, this isn't the same guy.
Andre the tall guy. Great. Yep. Yeah, that's yeah. I would have had Andre the tall guy against Bulk Grogan. That would have been my matchup.
That is great.
Yeah.
I like it.
Stroh's up 1-0. Springer with a sack fly scoring Bregman. So Stroh's with a 1-0 lead in the third inning, so that's a little update for you.
Just Stroh's going to be Stroh, right? I mean, they lose one, and everyone starts thinking, uh-oh, is this the beginning of the end? And then they seem to win the other two in the series and just keep on trucking.
Now, what do you think? I mean, there's people out there on social media wondering if they're going to look at an infielder, and I really don't think so. But I think the other thing that's more concerning is the fact that the Yankees are out there making moves.
Boy.
They're very active. As we know, Brian Cashman is capable of being, and it just seems like, you know, as we mentioned when the first deal started going down, J.D. Martinez joins the Diamondbacks last night. Teams are starting to make moves.
Good move for them.
Yeah, it was a nice pickup for them. And it just seems like the phone better be heating up if you're Jeff Luhnow, just because of the fact that teams that are even remotely in the hunt are starting to get real active.
Well, the thing, it's a tricky situation, right? Like, you don't want to stand pat too long because then all the good arms are gone.
Right.
But you don't want to rush out and offer up the farm and then realize you overpaid for a guy that if you would have just been patient, you could have probably gotten a little bit cheaper. So, I mean, he knows what he's doing. That's the thing is, you know, this isn't a just some aloof guy that does. I mean, look what he's done with this team. He rebuilt this team from scratch. So if you're going to have faith in anyone that knows what they're doing as far as short-term investments, long-term investments, and the right thing to do, it's Jeff Luhnow. And I know a lot of people out there don't like that dude, but I feel like what he's done with this team, he deserves some credit for. Some are going to give Ed Wade because of Keuchel and all that. But, you know, it would have been just as easy to trade those guys for more prospects as well. So he hasn't done that. He's built this team and have a little faith. And that's, you know, so if they don't do something this week, it's not going to surprise me because there's still some time left. But then I think if there's not something done going into the last week of the trade deadline, then you panic a little bit, you know?
Without question. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, and we can talk about it again, but I know you're not a Sonny Gray guy, but I know that the Giants look like they're going to be sellers. They, depending on what they're going to offer up, they've got plenty of pitching. There's plenty of guys out there. Again, I think the tough news is the Pirates don't look like that they're going to be selling, at least not in the in the short term. So, you know, you're looking at the pool of players that might be out there is not as large as it once was. And like you said, Quintana's already gone. The Cubs are still probably kicking the tires on Sonny Gray based on what I'm reading. So the time is now, if you're Luno, to start putting the irons in the fire, I would think.
Yeah, and the Yankees got a pretty good haul with Frazier and Robertson. I think that strengthens that gives them – I mean, you got Robertson, who's a guy who could be closing – probably going to be your seventh inning guy now. You're talking, you know, this could, if Betances could get his bleep together, this could be a team that it was very Royals-like at the back end of that bullpen. Like, you better get to the Yankees before the seventh inning, because if you don't have a lead on them by then, you could be in trouble.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, this is what they were just a year and a half ago when they had what's with the lefty from Cleveland that they ended up trading away. Andrew
Miller.
Yeah, they had Andrew Miller along with Betances and Chapman. So they're reconstructing the back end of their pen. That's going to be a big key for them. But they're still looking at starting pitching too. So they're not done by any means. And that's just another reason why they need to get going. The Red Sox seem to be the one that was trumped. The rumors all along were they were going to get Frazier in a trade. And now they get trumped by the Yankees and get the third baseman that they wanted. So it'll be interesting to see what the Red Sox do. But teams are heating up because the trade deadline is nearing, and the Astros will see if any movement in the next couple weeks as they get ready to hit the road after today's game. All right, we'll have plenty more on the usual suspects. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. There's plenty of national chains that are out there that'll change a flat or try and get your car fixed when you bring it in with a wheel and a tire problem. But most of the times, you bring it in with a simple fix, and you end up with a receipt that shows that they found four or five other things. They charged you a whole heck of a lot more money, and you leave scratching your head wondering if you even got a fair shake in the overall deal. I've known Mike and Tammy Gust at American Wheel and Tire for over 15 years, and they are a Houston business that is focused on giving you a fair deal at a fair price and great customer service before, during, and after, so you never feel queasy and uneasy like you just got screwed over by a national store. American Wheel and Tire, for over 15 years, has been doing remarkable work, and they've been doing it at a fair price. They've been making sure that whether it's you or your mom or your wife or your daughter or your kids, anyone can go in there and feel confident that they're just going to take care of the problem. They're not going to screw you over. Conveniently located at 290 and 34th Street, American Wheel and Tire or AmericanWheelandTire.com. It's the place to be if you need rims, tires, factory rims, standard tires, or if you really want to deck your car out and go all out with a lift kit and all the other accessories that you can do. It's all right there at American Wheel and Tire. Check them out, American Wheel and Tire, 290 at 34th or AmericanWheelandTire.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.